Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Wellspring Words, the podcast. This is your host, Nkem, and happy to have you here. For those who are joining us for the first time, this podcast is one about wellness, spirituality, and writing and creative expression, and how all of these things, how we can live holistically well, creatively, and feel connected to our deeper selves. It's almost like I'm just using this creative thing, writing thing, as like a guise to really just go and do the real deep spiritual work. And just, you know, it's my vehicle. It's the vehicle that I use so that it can feel accessible in this world and something we can tether ourselves to in this material world and not just be floating in our spiritual realms all the time, which is also fine sometimes. Anyway, welcome to this podcast. And we have a guest today, which I'm really excited about. Welcome, Ash. Please introduce yourself and welcome to the show.
Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so grateful. I'm really humbled to be a guest on your amazing podcast.
Thanks.
So I'm Ash Alves. I am a writer, a trainee psychotherapist, and I'm also the founder of an organization called Worry Reminder. So a lot of my work is really centered around healing and self-examination and helping people to expand their self-awareness. So that's a lot of my work is centered around that. And writing is really the tool, the vehicle, like you said earlier, to sort of help people to deeply connect with themselves and to develop a healthier and more aligned relationship with their true selves, basically. Mm. So yeah, that's basically what I do.
Basically. You know, all these beautiful things. And me and Ash met through Instagram, like back in 2020. That is when I started Wellspring Words. Is that when you started Warrior Reminder?
Yes, it is. January 2020. I remember we started near the same time.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of us out here who have started, who have, like, you know, our awakening or our deepening during that time helped us in creating these platforms or these spaces for people to come together who are having similar experiences. And yeah, so we met, we actually hosted a workshop together in 2021, early 2021, I think. And it was amazing. It was the first workshop that I ever collaborated with another organization with. And it was just a beautiful experience to do that together. Like, we're here for the wellness of the people. We're here for the deepening and the authenticity of the people. So that was really lovely. And yeah, I'm happy to have you on the podcast.
Thank you. And just to echo what you're saying about the collaborative workshop, it's really nice just to work with someone where there's the alignment.
Yeah.
And we have like similarity in terms of, I mean, we're going to be talking about values, but like,
right.
Values and just sharing from that space is really beautiful. So yeah, it was good. It was good. So
thank you. And yeah, we're having a conversation about values, about self-worth, and linking that to creativity and what it is like to feel in your creative power. So not just necessarily the things. When we talk about creativity, it's not the things that we're creating only that hold the value. It's the act of the creating. It's who we are when we're creating and what we feel like what does life look and feel like for us when we are in that creative zone. But before moving to that place, since we've been so highly conditioned in this world to be away from our power and our creativity, we need to regain a sense of awareness. And so I love that you mentioned that a lot of the work that you do deals with helping people to pretty much unlayer those parts of themselves and understand and see who they actually are. How does that look? Like, how do you take people through that process?
Right. So it's a difficult one. And I think for me, a lot of it is about people coming towards me or me offering messages and people receiving it at a time that's best for them, because everyone's at a different process in their awareness.
Mm-hmm.
And also just where awareness in and of itself is a journey, right? Like, constant experience certain challenges, and you know, as your understandings of yourself and in the world and in relation to others changes, your awareness also expands. So for me, I think the key thing that I try to put out there or share is the importance of having honest conversations with yourself and asking yourself questions. And I think that's really key. Just like, sometimes it feels like, and the process of healing can be very challenging. And there's so many sort of like tools or mechanisms and ways to, go about your healing journey. But for me, anyways, and at least the message that I tried to share is like there's something very powerful about just asking yourself an honest question. And it doesn't necessarily mean that there's not going to be defense mechanisms that come up or, certain narratives and certain thoughts that prevent us from unlayering, unmasking, and getting to the truth of our experience, our internal experience. But it's really about, just kind of provoking that thought and that questioning into us as, why do I do what I do? What's that about? Where did that come from? Is that rooted in childhood? Did I learn that from my parent? Just asking ourselves questions. And I think that for me, that self-inquiry is key to becoming more self-aware. So depending on what sort of way I do that through my writings or like through my coaching, or even like my training as a therapist, it really is just about creating a space for self-exploration. And that's really the thing that I try to put out there.
Yeah. No, and that's felt too, and I'm sure it's come from your own personal experience. I mean, I just find that those of us who can really not just have the self-awareness to live more authentically, but then have the spirit to share how to access that is so special. It just feels like another level. It's the level of the teacher, where it's like you're always learning because you have a compulsion to share with other people and invite people into a similar experience for themselves. So, I mean, I want to know as much as you're comfortable sharing about your own personal journey when it comes to just like the unlayering and the deepening and moving through the obstacles, the inner obstacles that come up, but then also that compulsion. This is a two-part question: the compulsion and that feeling, the inclination to share that with other people. What's that journey been like for you?
Yeah, so just like you said, just with the keyword journey, like it is a continuous journey, and how I may go about it may change and it may shift and evolve over time as I discover aspects of myself, different things that I need to work through. But I think a lot of my journey thus far has it's taken different forms, I'd say. So it looks like asking myself the honest questions, really taking time out to reflect through tools like journaling, having conversations with people. A lot of it has been like having to surrender to the fact that I don't always know the best way to deal with things, if that makes sense. I don't always, I'm not. I think for a long time I felt like I couldn't reach out for help because of what I was dealing with internally. So a lot of it was letting people in, specifically going to therapy. And also not even just that, but also letting people in when it comes to like actually reading and doing some research on ways that can be maybe better than the ways that I had been dealing with my stuff. But a lot of it has been just kind of like just being a bit more inquiring, trying to gain knowledge, and understandings of the ways to deal with certain things, within me. That looks like dealing with when it comes to like emotions stored in my body. So learning and discovering the power of like somatic healing and just like doing techniques that help me with that. Therapy to deal with like some of the cognitive, stuff that's going on, the thoughts, the narratives that are at play. Psychotherapy to deal with like the emotional trauma that was within me, and how it had been manifesting, showing up through my behaviors and actions. It's taken a lot of forms, but I'll say the key tools that I've been using has really just been like just taking that time to reflect through journaling, seeking help from other people, therapy. I've also had coaches and stuff, and really just taking it upon myself to do research. But I think one of the key things as well, outside of that, which I feel like has, I won't say that it's necessarily more important than the other, but I think the key thing that I've sort of moved towards or I discovered is having to return back to who am I? Like, and that from a spiritual level, like, who am I and what is my purpose on this earth? And just sort of grounding myself in the knowing, in the being of like I'm a spiritual being, right? And that's the key, that's the main thing. That's like the starting point here. And then everything else, like through my life, has just been socialization. It's there's the self, which is important to, in terms of being a vessel in this life, in this physical realm, but it's like okay, but what is mine? What is not mine? What is allowing me to be like a vessel for the divine? And so a lot of it has been just getting back to returning back to my spirituality at the
Yeah.
core. I think like out of all the things that I've done when it comes to unpacking my childhood, my people pleasing, all those things, it's really returning back to kind of like the core layer, which is like the essence of who I am.
Right.
That's been a lot of it. That was a little jumbled, but that's kind of where my thought.
No. For me, the visuals that were coming where I feel like just before we started this podcast, we were just catching up, and you told me I was telling you about my whole journey with, being a person who moves around the world all the time to settling. And you said that it feels like I've been through a journey. And when you were speaking now, I just felt the journey, and I felt like it felt as though your aura was expanding, or like your beingness was expanding and softening and create, because it's almost like when we are just existing as this physical creature only, this is who I am, my brain holds everything, my gut holds everything, there's nothing beyond this, we're so dense, like it's almost like we're as hard as stone, and we just have to, it takes like so much time to chip away to create something with that stone. But once we start to soften and feel the subtleties of the universe and follow those callings, and like we our aura gets bigger, and we are able to withstand and experience so much more, like so much more into what life has to offer rather than just what we see in front of us. But there's so much more in the layers and complexity of all of that, that it, I can't even articulate it because it's so personal. At some point it just becomes so personal that words don't even like do what they need to do. You try to reach for the right words to express something, and all you can do is emphasize through hand gesticulations.
Exactly, like there's the viewers can't, like the watchers can't, or the listeners can't see, but yeah, like there's a lot of hand gestures, but that's really what it is. It's like something about like unpeeling like the onion, so the layers of the onion, sort of just getting to the core. But in that, outside of that analogy, just feeling like there's just this expansiveness that comes with just unpeeling and just like getting rid of all those sort of, how you were kind of all the projections of who you should be through society, people, how you were raised, all that stuff, and just getting to your authentic self. And like I said, I feel like it's a continuous journey, but just it, I could say if I was to summarize it, it just feels liberating.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And then you asked the question regarding like the creativity, and yeah, so just in terms of how that, so you asked like if how that feeds into like
In
the
your
journey.
experience of being a creative person, because you're an author and you also create what we see. I mean, how I've met you on social media, like that is a creation of an identity, a way of sharing things with the world. There's a lot of creation, and then whatever you're creating behind the scenes that people can't see, right? And I'm wondering how you have grown into or sensed into or just, this, as you've been on this journey of transformation and opening and liberating yourself, how has that impact? This is a simple way. How has that impacted your creativity?
Oh yeah, so I think just to go back to like the reasons why I decided to do what I'm doing anyways, so which will get me to that point, it's the way my brain works.
Yeah,
But
no worries.
yeah, so okay, so I'll say like, so the reason why I had like an in through my own personal awakening, going through like a dark night of the soul, I started to use writing as an outlet. I've always been someone that's kind of like very introspective, very in my head. And if I went through, when I was going through like my own personal difficulties, I would not often share them. So it led through my own personal awakening, it led me to writing. And I started to write down my reflections and stuff like that, and things that I was going through. And then like I had like this intuitive call to start to share it online with no expectation of what that's going to look like in terms of creating any sort of brand identity, any sort of community. It was simply from like I just felt this calling to share and just share my heart, pour it out, and just let whoever sees it see it. So through that, I think what as that went on, and I continued to do that, and I continued to like kind of honor that calling that I had inside, what the purpose came. So initially the purpose was just to sort of honor the fact that I'm going through this thing right now and I'm just called to share it. And that was what it was. There was nothing deeper other than that at the moment, at that time. And then over time it became a few things. So number one, I always had this thing where like, well, not this thing, but like a part of my values, which we're going to talk about in a bit, is I feel like it's the debt that we owe to the world. There's that quote, like the debt we owe to the world is to be in service of others. And so for me, it became part of the experiences that I'm having for myself, the difficulties and challenges and the obstacles that I'm facing, the inner battles that I'm trying to overcome. It's part of the debt that I owe to the world is to share the lessons that I'm learning. That is my duty on earth. I felt really connected to that, and it showed up in different forms prior to that, like in terms of like doing activism and doing certain community work. But it really was just like, okay, this is another way for me to share how people can move through the challenges that they're experiencing in life. So that was kind of like one of the reasons why it was important for me just to use then my creativity to help be in service, because I felt like that was my moral obligation. This is what I'm here to do on earth. And then another part of that was to do with the fact that, like, spiritually, when I started to get deeper into my own spirituality, I'm a vessel for something higher than me. And I'm a vessel to sort of elevate the collective consciousness. And so, even though it may be difficult at times to sort of navigate from that space as a creative, I have to sort of surrender to the fact that I'm a vessel for something beyond the it's helping me liberate me, but as well, it's helping the wider collective. So for me, it was just like it just became like something that was like, okay, this is what I'm doing. And it just became like part of the way that I almost like it feels like water to me. Like now it's just like this is just something that I do. Like as not even do I am. I can't explain it. It's like it's just something that's just so
It's
it's like
authentic, right? Like it's just
it's
organic. It's
authentic.
just, it's your
Yes.
skin. It's, and I think that's one of the reasons why I've been attracted to, just staying connected with you since we first met, because of that sense of feeling embodied or feeling like you're living what you're sharing. And we have to remember that with social media. I mean, like I didn't in some part of my brain, I'm still not a social media person. I'm still not an internet person. I'm still just a corner girl, just in the corner of her room with her dolls. That's who I am. But my whole business is online. Everything is online. Like, what am I thinking? So I always have to remind myself that social media is, you have to be, this is a place for to practice boundary setting, to practice how you want to create your reality. If you feel resonance towards certain creators or certain people, friends and family, whatever other profiles, then go towards that. If you feel a complete dissonance, then stay away from it. It's very simple, but I think we can practice that on social media. And I found that with time, just curating my feed to express the kind of genuineness that I want to experience, that I do experience within myself, it has made for such a better, like I go online because I know that I'm going to be uplifted. I know that it's going to be a genuine sharing from people that I follow. So, yeah, I mean, you're one of the people that I follow. That's why I mentioned this whole thing. But also, just to slide in the thing about social media, because we can make it work for us. It doesn't have to just be something that takes away from us, I think.
Oh, absolutely. I'm really, really glad you mentioned that, because I think that's really it's really important, especially when you're doing this type of work. And even if you're not and you are sort of on social media in general, like it can be challenging, but particularly as a creative, when you're in this space and you're sharing from that sort of that authentic space, you feel like you're vested something beyond like just the self. It's like once it goes on these systems where there's algorithms, when there's like this desirability, when there's the
Yeah,
politics behind
a
it,
lot of filters. Yeah, it's like hyperspeed on those kind of things.
exactly, a constant stimulation, constant need to produce. It can be a bit of a cha it can be a challenge, right? And I guess it's for me, it's just and for anyone who's listening, it's just really having to return to like the reasons why you're doing it.
Yeah, stay
Really having,
grounded in that.
yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay, let's shift into we've been kind of talking about values in a more meta way, like the journey around being aligned with your values. But to talk about it specifically, becoming aligned with your values. Like I remember in 2019, I think this is when my spiritual deepening for that moment was just starting, because I just felt called to these more existential questions, these more philosophical things. So the music I was writing was so like just talking about me to myself. Like that was the main conversation. And I came across an exercise on how to determine your values through a lot of free writing, a lot of pulling concepts from your writing that really you can thematize and make into what your values were. And it was beautiful. It was such a beautiful exercise. I'm like, this is everything. Like this, it was so simple and so easy. But that was 2019. Before that point, I had not thought about my personal values, I don't think, in that kind of way. How have you determined your values? Like where does it, how does it show up for you? And like that moment where you know that there were values, there was something about values that was important to you, not just a definition of values that you had to learn for the SATs or whatever, but like something that was important to you personally.
Well, first of all, I really want to try that exercise that you've done with the values. I've got to try that. But I
Yeah.
think for me, where I sort of kind of realized the importance of having values and defining them, it was when I had like a deep sense within me of what works for me and what doesn't work for me.
Yeah.
And that came in relation to others. Like it came also being in the world and seeing what I did and didn't like, and seeing, oh, that crap that's happening in the, that part, there's poverty, it's crap that
Yeah.
there's poverty and people don't have access to basic shelter, water, clothing. So, my value is transformative justice. It's authenticity. Whilst it may be something that I didn't practice always at a time, it's something that I want to move towards, because when I realized when I was doing my reflections in my journaling, or when I was sort of have pro like when I was bring up stuff with my therapist, one of the key things that came out is the fact that I'm trying to be more authentic. I'm trying to be more of my authentic self, and I often find that there's a blockage towards that. So then my value became authenticity. And so it's really just about sensing, like, within myself, like what are my boundaries, what are the things that move me, what are the things that don't move me, what are the things that I'm trying to move towards, what am I trying to return back to, which like the authenticity. And so or even just like for example, another thing is like, what do I like in people? I really love people who are compassionate. Who show compassion. So it's stuff like that, and then like that being a value of my own. And so it's just kind of like that's the way that I sort of came to know my values, was really just by sensing what was happening within myself, and certain things would happen in the world, and in relation to other people, and just kind of like, what do I have more of an affinity towards, or moving towards, and just kind of seeing what's in between that, and then deciding to kind of name those as my personal values.
And live by them. Yeah. So
That was
how is your life honoring your values? Because you mentioned this is, I think it's really interesting how interesting in the sense that like it feels textured, it feels like enticing to go into how some of your values are things that you, their values because you're working towards them, or they're that you know that there's like an inherent journey that's happening with your values. It's not just this is my value and I live by it and nothing changes around this value, but it's a changing thing. It's a molding thing, these values. Some things that you love in other people that aren't even necessarily about you, but then it is about you because it's a value that you want in your life and you want to cultivate that. I want to hear about how that works in process with you.
Yeah, so when it comes to my values, I think before I definitely took like I've got five main values, and that's just that. I'd never really explored like the fact that I can have a changing relationship with my values. I never really thought really deep delve into, okay, what does that look like to live in alignment with those values? But I think like through time, I was able to kind of have my five values, but then like theme it like so I know it's for a few years. So one of my values is out of my five values is social justice, and For years, I was doing a lot of that work, like groundwork in the community, doing a lot of work to support a lot of anti-capitalist work. That's a lot of work for years. And it's still something that's really dear to me. But what I noticed is that one of my other values, which became authenticity, I felt like I was overly identifying with being like this social justice
Warrior,
activist
yeah.
warrior, to the point that I sort of lost touch of other aspects of me, right?
Yeah.
And so then it became, all right, so that value, I think I've kind of nailed it down in some ways, and I'm embodying the social justice value. It's something that I've embodied, and I feel I can. Yeah, it's something that I've worked through. I'm able to,
Yeah.
I've gained, I've got a grasp of it. But when it came to the authenticity, I found myself still in relationships with other people where I put a mask on, not intentionally, not consciously. This was all happening at a deeper level. And I noticed, like afterwards, like when I was around certain people, just this discomfort. And it wasn't always from, sometimes that's because you're around certain people that are just not good for you. But in my case, it was because I was performing and I felt uncomfortable. So whilst I had this value on my list, five values, and one of them being authenticity, I wasn't actually living in alignment with that. So it became, okay, so then what does it look like to live authentically? So living authentically is having to be uncomfortable sometimes with the fact that you are not going to meet people's expectations, that you're gonna have to say no to certain things, that you're gonna have to say this does not work for me. And so what that looked like practically is, okay, so I have this opportunity in this instance to say no to an opportunity. Do I people please, which is inauthentic, or do I decide to say, do you know what? Thank you for the opportunity, but no, thank you. So that's what it practically looked like to live in alignment with those values. And so for me, it was just like having to really just be clear about what does that look like. And then now, like rather than saying like I have these five values, which I feel is like my pillars, right? Like they're always there. They're like my moral compass. And while it's within me, it's like it's nice to remind myself of that. But like now, the way that I engage with them is just really just having like themes where I just like I'm noticing that I'm straying away from something. So I'm like, okay, let's pick that value and let's just work with that for a while. Let's really embody that and just really be with it and live it. You know, so that's kind of the way that I engage with them.
Wow. So beautiful, so powerful, so strong. Yeah, there are some things that th this is what happens, right? Like I just want to chime in every 3 seconds and be like, ooh, because it's interesting. It's interesting to learn how someone else embodies their own values or moves through the world is the way that I'm feeling it. You know, like we need a way to move through the world. When we're young, when we're in school, when we're under the roofs or the institutional energy of our parents sometimes. In my case, it was institutional. Like it felt institutional in a way because my culture, Nigerian culture, but then specifically my father's side of the family was very patriarchal and family meetings and very, very structured and all of these things. So it felt a little bit like an institute. But after you decide or you leave that institute, whatever it is, institution, I should say, you have to decide what are going to be the structures for your own life. And being in the family dynamic and just being in that root space of your life, the structures are determined for you. And we don't really recognize how beautiful it is to have structures that are purposeful and that work for us until we're in a situation where we are living unstructured, or maybe we are overstructuring because we don't know the value of structure and we just are in the fear. You know, the fear stage. I'm thinking specifically of three different scenarios. Like one scenario is someone who leaves a home and goes to school, and after they finish school, they can't bear to just be out in the world doing God knows what. So they go back to school and they're just in school forever. Like this person is just always in school doing some postdoc, PhD, PhD, postdoc, doc, PhD, postdoc, D, and like just continuing on with all the letters that you can find. And look, I'm a teacher, I'm a constant learner, I'm always learning something. But you know what I mean? Like, there's a fear sometimes associated with just being out in the world and being outside of an institution. And then there's the person who is just having no boundaries, whatever, just out there. Me talking about myself, the previous me, not currently, just out there, just frolicking the world and having all types of experiences here and there. And it's like complete freedom, complete liberation. I don't even know where I'm gonna live tomorrow, kind of thing. But both of those cases are really unsustainable when it comes to like your inner growth or flourishing or moving through evolution and journey. So that's why it's really beautiful to be able to discern for a period in time, these are the values, these are the ways that I'm moving through the world, these are the filters that I choose to see life through, because it's a choice, right? Like, someone can have integrity as a value, another person can have like complete and utter freedom, and integrity is not as important to them as a value. And you would have two very different experiences because of what you choose to put your energy towards. So I love
Thank you. I mean, I'm
that.
about the filter thing, which I think is it's really valuable, because it's like when you have that filter, it's like you get to, then it becomes clear what comes in and what comes out, right?
Yeah.
And I feel like ultimately you live a life which is more integral, which you know is kind of is deeply authentic. It's something that's true to you, the most truest to you. So I really love that about like the values being a filter. And I also wanted to mention that, and I think that for some people, especially depending on like your spiritual religious beliefs, I think sometimes when you do have like certain values or morals or principles that come from your religion, it can act as that sort of pillar, that guidance system. But when you depending obviously if you're not if you don't have that and you don't align with a particular religious
Like
belief,
association, yeah.
yeah, exactly, then I think sometimes it's like often feeling lost with what does that what is that. So I feel like even with that, like I think it's really important just to have values and to have those guiding principles.
Yeah, I think it's time for me to do another investigation of my own. I think, through each of the transitions we move through in life, it feels important to kind of just touch base with what that feels like for now. It's a changing thing. What we think, what we care about is different in different seasons. So it feels like this is a call for everybody to do that. Everyone listening to this, just take some time and understand what are your values. Just based on your own experiences, how you feel towards certain situations, experiences, types of people, whatever, what you love to create, what you value in other people, like Ash was telling us, and like something within yourself that you're working towards. Like that's a beautiful way to just to feel into that. But Ash, do you feel like there is a connection between our guiding values or our guiding principles and our sense of personal value, if that's a thing that exists?
Yeah, so I think so. I do think so, because I feel like when it comes to like depending on how you sort of so say if you have like a high sense, if you have a sense of self-value, say self-worth, then you will move through life making sure that like whatever decisions you make, your behaviors and actions align with your guiding principles. And so I feel like the guiding principles become like the thing that sort of anchors you in, okay, this is what I'm what I this is a value of mine that I must uphold, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
And
because you want to
yes.
honor yourself. It sounds like there's like an honoring the self, because the self is important to honor, and this
Yeah.
is part of honoring the self.
Yes,
Feels like
exactly.
too.
So I feel like, yeah, exactly. So it's really just about like yes, just like you said, I feel like it there's the connection is essentially like the how much you value yourself will be reflected in how much you honor your principles, the principles of which you live by. And if you have a sense that like these principles are help me to be the most authentic to myself, these are what makes me feel the most connected to myself. This is what makes me feel like you know, this gives me a sense of self-value. You'll make sure that whatever you do is in alignment with that, because you do not want to devalue yourself. You do not want to feel inauthentic. You do not want to be inauthentic in the world. And so you'll make sure that your relationships, when you're in relationships, that they honor your values. So if you do not like selfish people, for example, and then you're in a relationship, you're dating someone who's very selfish, then you're saying, I have a sense of self-value, which is aligned with the fact that, you know, I don't like people who are, my principles are that I don't like people who are selfish, right? That doesn't align with the principles in which I live by. So therefore you'll choose to exit situations which do not align with those principles, because they do not connect with who you are and how much you value yourself. And so I feel like just having those principles, I think that sort of is a and how you live that out is a manifestation or a reflection of how much you value yourself.
Yeah, well said. I understood that very, very clearly. Yeah, and I visualized it too. And I always like to speak for those of us who are on the part of the journey where we are in the process of removing ourselves from situations that don't suit us, that it's a clear misalignment and we're removing ourselves, but we're kind of stuck. Like there's no sticky energy here. You know, there's people that we're attached to emotionally or physically, there's responsibilities that we have. There are ways that our bodies and our nervous systems are still feeling very comfortable in a certain way in a situation that's not very healthy for us ultimately. And that stickiness is where I always like to pause and just honor that. This is where the wisdom is created. This is where the learnings, you know, you mentioned the debt that you owe to society, essentially. You know, when you're in these moments, what comes out of it? What is the gold that comes out of these very sticky moments of removing yourself from a misaligned situation and aligning yourself? That is what you're sharing with the world in such a beautiful way. And so this is an honoring of that, because I know there's that energy that we have, especially if you're like a passionate person, it's like, this is how I feel. It's like, okay, so easier said than done, and it's easy for you, but it's not for me. And there's that part that wants to sometimes be like, well, not me, you know, like the self-pity and the victim mentality of like, I can't do it because I just can't do it. And it's not our fault. We're conditioned to become really good at being in that place of needing to give away our power and everything for us to feel valid and for us to feel whole. But like I've been mentioning in a couple episodes this season, at some point we need to determine for ourselves, I deserve a good life. I deserve happiness. Happiness is mine. I love to be happy. I shine when I shine. That's one of my new sayings for myself. I shine when I shine. And it feels good to shine. And not really with this eye to those people who around me who can't take the shine, they have to wear sunglasses. Yes, sure, fine and sure. But that's been a focus, right? And the focus of that always puts us in a place of feeling like we need to prove ourselves, improve our worth. And, you know, as opposed to the other perspective, which is I shine when I shine, and when I shine, others around me shine, or those who are resonant with my shine shine even brighter, which makes me shine brighter. So you're really only focusing on what feels good rather than always wanting to feel good, but focusing on what feels bad. You know, the people, the haters, the things that are going to try to take you down. And then you're in a constant mentality of fighting rather than a constant mentality of being liberated and into the light. Not to say that those other energies won't be there, you know, like, but it's just what we decide to resonate with. And it comes back to the sense of autonomy and choice for me when it comes to like the personal value there.
I love that. I love that. Really resonate with that.
Thank you. I'm glad. I'm glad. Yeah. It feels there's something that feels very whole and wholesome about what we're talking about, because I know it can be a little. We want to be careful not to oversimplify the alignment process, the healing process. You know, it especially when
Absolutely.
you move through something, it can be easy or it can be really accessible to just speak about it as though, you know, that's all it took. One, two, three, and here we are. But it's so much deeper than that. Yeah, I'm trying to figure out my question here. I just want to like kind of bring that up and see if you have any thoughts around it, like the non not simplifying what we actually move through and what we're being prepared to move through. Yeah, like how's that for you?
Yeah, I'm really glad that you mentioned that because I think it's really important. I think there's only so much that words can articulate when it comes to the process of healing and really just having to sit with that the depth of your pain
Yeah.
and defense mechanisms that come up and the trauma and you know your that desire within you to preserve like a state of being that no longer serves you, but it's kept you safe for a long period of time.
Yeah.
And how uncomfortable that feels sometimes physically inside of you to do something different. When, for example, like changing the boundaries, like it's so easy to talk about, sorry, not changing boundary, but implementing a boundary. It sounds so easy, but for some people, it's like you experience like the fight and flight mode when it comes to expressing to someone what a boundary is for you. You know, and so it's really uncomfortable, and it takes having to sometimes revisit things, because it comes up in another dimension, or there's another layer or aspect of a particular thing that you have to work through. And I feel like as well, to just on it being on often it being simplified, I think there's various reasons for that. I think one of them is language. It's difficult to obviously express fully what it looks like. Another thing is that we're on social media platforms where there's not much depth of conversation always, like in the mainstream anyways, like on, you know, that it's not being the most popular tweets aren't the ones which are talking about the courses of healing. And so you're seeing like the buzzwords about like self-care and all these things, and you're thinking that's just what it is, you know what I mean? Or healing, you're just hearing the word and it becomes like almost like nothing, it doesn't
Almost,
mean
yeah,
anything.
almost like it's a hobby. Like, oh, one of my hobbies is healing. Another one is riding my bike. You know, it's not that.
Exactly. So it's like it can be difficult. And another thing is to do with the fact like we live in a capitalist world, and things become commodified and things become profitable, and therefore the meaning behind it then becomes saturated and watered down in order for it to be people to pay for it, and you know all that kind of stuff. So it's there's different layers, but I feel like it's really important for people to know that like it is a challenge, and it's a constant process. But in saying that, there has to be a part of we have to be as well and live. Because I think sometimes we can get so in the, I mean, I say just let me not project. This is my personal observations. I think for a long time it really was about like healing, 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 and it will be a continuous journey, and it is. But there was a part of that which made me realize that I had to be also compassionate with myself, and I guess that's another layer of the healing, that like there's got to be some aspects that come up that are going to be challenging that I may have felt I worked through, which I didn't. Or I worked through it in some parts, but not all parts. Or that I'm in relation to other people in a particular way, which just hurts me. Like it triggers something in me that I've not worked through. And so with that, it's having to be compassionate with yourself in the process, and just not romanticizing the healing journey, but also remembering that the whole point of healing is to return back to that your authenticity, actually live more freer, you know. So yeah, I think it's definitely idolized and romanticized, and it's like, oh, I'm healing. I'm th yeah, no, it's like it's a challenge sometimes, but
It's real. It's real stuff.
yeah,
It's real
it's real
stuff.
stuff.
And it's a journey, you know, like the journey we've been mentioning journey the whole throughout the whole episode. And I love that. I love that journey is a word that can be just used in that way, because it's a freeing mechanism to use the word journey. It evokes something different in different people, and everyone, you know, the word journey is different. But I think here in this space, we use journey as a welcoming, like an invitation to kind of settle in a little bit. You're not gonna come and go. You'll be here for a while. Things will start to ferment, things will start to marinate and cook, and we'll become very familiar with ourselves in ways that going, you know, putting a band-aid on it, just it won't work. And it's nice to feel that, because sometimes we feel like we are regressing, as if we're on some linear trajectory towards success or towards heaven or whatever. But there's no regression. It's just a journey, right? Like you can't really go back, because it's almost like you're in a game and you're going back to some part of the game where you left something really important. Or, you know, you ever played those video games? My favorite was like Jack and Daxter, Ratchet and Clank, where they're like navigating all this weird terrain, these
Oh,
post-apocalyptic
yeah.
terrain, and they have to like pick up things and move rocks. And that's kind of like how it feels. Moving the rocks is like returning back to a situation where, with different people, but similar dynamic, that it's like, I thought I moved through. Like you said, I thought I moved through this. Why is it that I'm experiencing this again? Well, it's because you didn't lift up this rock and find this particular gem that you need, or this puzzle piece that you need to fit into that jiggy later, and then the whole thing will open. It'll be like, oh my God, a new level.
No, honestly, it definitely is like that for sure. And I feel like there's an element of like having to like just be, and I don't know why that's coming to me, but it's just like sometimes I think, I mean, I guess for me, like the got to a point of the healing journey where like I felt like, oh gosh, like there's so many other things that are coming up for me that I should have worked on, I thought I worked on.
Right.
And it was almost like, oh, I just can't attain this perfect state of being.
Right.
Like I'm moving towards this imaginal like being where I'm completely healed. And I think I had to let go of that too.
Yeah, for
You
sure.
know, and yeah, just the healing journey, and it's I suppose it's ongoing, it's continuous. But in that process, you get to be, just be. You get to experience life. You get to just make mistakes. You get to heal through it, grow through it, and just be with yourself, and also accept versions of who you are now as well. You know, not wait until you get to this state of being that may never arrive, you know, but like, yeah.
Yeah, it's very beautiful. It makes me think of the idea or the reality that once we are in this space, or once we are in this sense or this energy of acceptance and just allowing things to flow, that relationships with other people become so much more rich and so much easier and so much more fluid and flowy. And it's not because anything could have really changed. It's just like our perspective and our capacity for experiencing more of this dynamic life has grown. So everything around that, you know, we are on this solo journey, yes. And I think it's incredibly important to remember that everything is a solo journey. So creating that space within self that is protected and that is sacred, that it's like, some it's not like some thoughts you don't need to share with everybody. It's not really with that energy. It's more like you need to just understand how this thought, this thing, this action, this dream is serving you first, and let that be there for some time before taking it out into the external world, because that self needs to be there. And that's how we can, that's my what's the word I'm looking for, that's my hypothesis right now. That self needs to be there, and then we can enjoy the people outside of that because our self is always protected. And we realize, like, I'm living life. I'm in here. I'm having a true experience of life. This is not a theory. This is my real life. I'm living it, you know? And the being is a huge part of that.
Yeah, I love that. I love how you said that.
Thank you. What a beautiful episode. So lovely. I'm just sitting here looking at my candles and my crystals, and I'm like, thank you for supporting us.
It was a wonderful episode.
Really?
Like, yeah, no, this has been really uplifting. It's made me think as well. So I've got some reflections to do as well.
Me too. I definitely I'm excited about it. I want to just use some time after we wrap to just like dive into some things that are just percolating. And I invite everyone who feels the same way to do that. Like, don't put it off until another time. Just sit with it right now. Just be with it right now and just let that be in your presence. Thank you so much, Ash, for being here and for sharing your truth and your wisdom and learning together with me, because it's a learning process, right?
And thank you for having me. It's been an honor, and I hope people enjoy this episode.
Me too. Is there anywhere that you'd like to be found on social media or anything that you're doing with your work? Like, just share with us where you're at and how you'd like to stay in contact with the people.
Yeah, so if you want to keep in touch with me, you can follow me on Instagram. So it's Ash Alves underscore, and it's the same name, Ash Alves underscore on Twitter and Pinterest. And if you want to go to my website, then you could just go to ashalversblog .com, and yeah, keep in touch.
Awesome. Great. Thank you so much. And thank you to everybody who is listening to this episode near and far and close to your hearts. And if you want to stay in contact with us here at Wellspring Words, you can find us on Instagram at Wellspring Words. You can also send us an email, bewell@wellspringwords.love, and check out our platform online that we do everything on, including hosting this podcast, our digital anthology, writing workshops, writing courses, and one-on-one writing coaching. And yes, we'll be in touch. Share with a friend, you know, all of the good stuff about letting this podcast live and continue to inspire people. All right. Thank you. Bye.